Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. My name is Media Michelle Stockatelli, and tonight we're going to be talking about, basically your questions and answers about mediumship and spirit guides, the spirit world. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have a lot of fun. I see we have a number of callers already, and I hope that they're ready to ask the most interesting questions and things that you've wanted to know about, always about, what happens when a spirit goes home, or what it's like to be a spirit guide, how spirits connect through a medium. The questions are limitless, and I can't wait to see what they come up with. So what I also have prepared is questions that I do receive often, either in my Facebook pages or groups. I have a few mediumship groups, and as well as through my website and all that. So people ask a lot of similar questions sometimes, because obviously, there's just so much to wonder about. And when I give an answer, I mean, it is not the answer. I give what I feel from my experience, from what my guides, bring through for us. But I'm always open to possibilities. So that's the thing with when you're talking about spirituality or spirit guides or mediumship or anything like that, you have to maintain some sort of level of openness and being willing to consider different possibilities. Some things might resonate with you, other things will not. And it doesn't mean that anything is more right or wrong. It simply means that, you have to follow what feels true to you, what feels right to you in the moment, and let go of what isn't working with you. So one of the questions I do get asked quite often is, do you see spirits all of the time? So I guess that, it depends on how you understand how someone sees spirits. Sometimes people feel like they see them with their physical eyes because they can see them with their eyes open. But I find that the more I talk to others, they seem to always see them with their mind's eye. So that third eye that, within your mind. So this is how I see spirit as well. So even if I'm looking at somebody directly in the physical world, I can still describe, what a spirit looks like while I'm looking at someone else, simply because the spiritual senses work on a completely different level than our physical senses. So to answer that question, do I see spirit all the time? No, I don't, simply because I choose not to. I set very strong boundaries with my own spirit guides. It would be far too draining and it's just too much to constantly be wide open to spirit. I lead a very normal life. I feel like this is wonderful and I love what I do, and I could never ever imagine doing anything else with my life. But I also recognize that I'm here to live my life, and to do so I have to be involved in the physical world. I can't constantly be spiritually connected and constantly seeing spirit. So when I'm out in public and all that, I do kind of set the boundaries with my guides that unless there's a very significant reason for me to have to, I don't need to sense all of the spirits that are around us, because we're always surrounded by spirits. People will ask, are there spirits in my home? And I always have to answer right away, yes, there absolutely are. And not in a bad way. You simply have your spirit guides around you all the time. You have loved ones who check in on you often. It's hard to explain how we kind of share the same space, because basically the only difference between us and the spirit world is that they're vibrating at a much higher level. So we're very much, very close, if that makes sense. So I have a lot of questions that I'm going to be answering tonight. And I'm hoping that, again, if you're calling in, remember that we're not doing messages from spirit tonight. We are doing messages from spirit on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And it'll be a full hour of spirit messages. But tonight we're answering questions. So I'm looking forward to hearing yours. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Yes, it's Jay calling from Canada. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Good.
Good, good. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. My question is that why is it that when people are they have the names of psychic medium nowadays instead of just psychic? That's one of my questions. I have some other questions too.
Okay, so what is, I'm sorry, so I don't want to hear that. So is it, you're asking what the difference between a psychic and a medium is?
Well, no, it's just that they call them a psychic medium now instead of just a medium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you notice that I never do. I, like, every medium is a psychic, because you have, you mean every medium that can connect with spirit already has that psychic ability, but not every psychic is a medium. So I don't know why some people choose the psychic medium title. I've always just resonated as medium because, well, it's implied that if you're a medium, that you're also a psychic. But I think the main thing is that those who want to show that they work with the psychic senses and all that to bring forward information in that manner, they choose to, give that information in that title. Well, how it works is that with the psychic ability, it's more about picking up information about somebody from their own energy, as opposed to what a medium does, picking up the information directly from spirit. So when I connect with somebody, and you've heard me connect with many people on the show already, I do always start off with the psychic senses, and I say I can sense what you're feeling. If I pick up on physical ailments or anything like that, or like emotions going on, the tension, that's all psychic ability. And then we move into the mediumship aspect with connecting with the spirits and bringing forward spirit guides and loved ones. So, do you find it confusing? Like, what is it about the psychic medium title that confuses you or makes you wonder?
Well, it's almost like a two-in-one type of thing, right?
Right.
Type of
Well, yeah, and in the term, like the reality is that every medium is a psychic, so that just goes without saying. But not every psychic is a medium. So some psychics, well, they kind of stay at that, not that a medium is better than a psychic, but they stay at that level where they work with the psychic senses. And I've met a lot of psychics that actually possess a lot of mediumship abilities, but they don't feel confident or comfortable calling themselves mediums, because it does bear a bit of responsibility when you put yourself out there saying, I'm going to connect you with your loved ones and bring forward, validation and all of this stuff about life continuing on after our passing here. So I think what it really comes down to is a person's own comfort level, what they feel confident in, how they express themselves. Does that make sense? Good. And you said you had other questions. Did you want to ask one more for tonight?
Sure, I just wondered, in terms of being in a medium, I just wondered, how do you disconnect from the other side when you're doing multiple readings, maybe during a radio show?
Okay. See, I don't mindfully do this anymore because it's just something that I have been doing for so long that it really flows. But in the beginning, when I was doing, say, like more public events where we would be doing like message after message for about 20, 30 minutes, I would work with my guides. Just mentally, I would say to them, okay, we've disconnected. And I kind of do this, it's almost like a wash of energy, just kind of like cleansing myself of the energy that I no longer need to carry with me, and then preparing myself for another connection. So every medium will do this differently. I don't know if this is taught anywhere, but when I teach mediumship for those who are working on their abilities, I do teach them to mind, like when they connect, they are visualizing and feeling this like energy cords going to wherever their sitter is and connecting them together. So they'll feel that connection. So we, even when that's something that we practice, they connect with me and I can tell them when I can feel their energy. And then we practice disconnecting because it is important to be able to disconnect. Because if you're not mindfully and spiritually disconnecting, then you're kind of carrying that with you and it can be very draining. So then we practice disconnecting and you can feel that shift in the energy when a medium disconnects from you. Does that make sense? Good. Have you been working on your own mediumship abilities?
No, I used to do some stuff. I just had a experience that didn't want to go into working with doing medium stuff before, so it was just not my, I don't know, path in life, if you want to call it that. So
Oh, well, good. Well, these are wonderful questions. I love them. Thanks so much for calling in and asking them.
you're welcome. Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
So yeah, I love questions. I can never get enough questions. Because especially if it's something that I've never thought about or have been asked before, then it gives my guides and I a chance to work together in the moment to, for them to give me the information that you need. And I just love that. One of the other questions I get a lot, I guess based on, because there's so many shows now, television shows where I guess mediums go up and kind of do on the spot readings. So I get asked, are you constantly going up to people and giving them messages in public? No, no, because for me, there's a few aspects to this. But first of all, when you see that in the shows, you have to remember that things are kind of set up in reality shows. I have to use the word reality kind of in quotation marks, but you can't see me doing that, those air quotations, because they already have, they, like, to be on the show and all that, they have to, the people that receive the message have signed waivers and all that kind of stuff, and they're already set up to communicate on the camera with, like, microphones and stuff like that. So they might not know what the medium is going to say, but, you know, they know that they're going to get a message. So it, in reality, like real reality where there's no cameras and you're walking down the street, no, I don't approach people and give them messages, simply because, first of all, it can be a little, you know, off-putting to have someone just come up and say, hey, I see your grandfather's in spirit. He'd love to talk to you, you know. And while, you know, if you're very, you know, if you're very open and all that and you're kind of comfortable with that, that might be really fun. But overall, I would think that that would feel almost kind of like, not offensive, but just it's just a bit much. You know, you want someone to feel comfortable and confident when they are receiving a message. And for me, I feel like it's very important to gain permission before connecting with somebody's energy. So even if I sent someone, you know, around another person, if I don't know them, and I, you know, what I say to them in spirit is, you know, if you really want to connect with them, please encourage them to seek out a medium, you know. And this is why sometimes people are drawn to specific mediums, because their loved ones in spirit are encouraging them to make those connections. And the spirit has to be comfortable with the medium they make that connection with too. They have to be comfortable with their energy and feel like that, you know, they're very truthful and honest and humble, and that they'll bring through as much validation and love and everything else that they want to, you know, give to their loved one in the physical world. So absolutely, I do not do that. It feels like a violation of boundaries. You know, people don't want to be bombarded with this kind of stuff. I feel like in the right context, you know, you can ask, especially if there are developing mediums listening right now, because I find this is something that kind of happens more in the beginning. When you're starting to work on things, you get really excited and you want to share it with everyone, and you think everyone wants a message. Not everyone wants a message. Sometimes, too, if you kind of force it on others, it really turns them away from wanting anything more. If it's been a recent loss and they're not ready, which again, I always recommend waiting 4 to 6 months before booking a reading after a significant loss. There's many reasons for that, you know, and especially if you're developing, you might not know what the symbols are that you're receiving, or the sensations that you're receiving. It can be like the messages might be confusing, and you don't want to tell someone, you know, something about themselves that might make them worry when you're not exactly sure what it is you're feeling. So it's important to have strong morals and ethics when you do mediumship. You're putting yourself out there to help others. Mediumship is about healing, not showmanship. It's not something that you know, for me anyway, I don't feel like I'm putting on a show. I don't feel like I'm trying to be an entertainer. I'm not trying to dazzle anyone. I'm trying to, all I want to do is connect people with their loved ones and spirit guides to provide closure and peace and healing, and give them the insight and guidance that they need on their paths. It's not about trying to, you know, I guess not surprise, or, you know, earlier this week I did an evening of mediumship locally at a wonderful place called Radiance Gifts. If you're in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, ever, check them out. They're wonderful. And I am actually going to have the owner of the shop on the show probably later this summer. Anyway, so I did that on Tuesday, and it was wonderful. And some of the information that just flowed, it didn't make much sense to me. And most of the time it won't. But it's just so amazing how it reaches the sitters. You know, if a spirit brings through a specific phrase, you know, and I say this is what they're saying, and the sitter just breaks down into beautiful tears of healing and release to know, oh my gosh, they are absolutely with me, because there's no way, you know, if it's something I wouldn't normally say and this is what they brought through, when they feel that connection and know without a shadow of a doubt that their loved one is right there giving them that loving, beautiful message and that healing energy, there's just no words to describe it. So that's how I feel about all of that. We're going to take another caller and see what their question is. Hello, may I have your name, please? Hello, you're on the air. Okay, maybe I'll put you back on hold and we'll take someone else for now and see if you're back later. Okay. Hello, you're on the air. May I have your name, please?
My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm trying to be okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I would like to know, when somebody passes over, how do they adjust to, you know, every day we drink water and eat food and things like that. How do they adjust to not having to do that?
Oh, that's a great question. It's one I've never had before, and I love it. So when we go home, there is a definite period of readjustment. And I say readjustment because home is where, well, it's just that. It's where we came from. So it's harder for us to adjust to life here than it is to readjust to going home because that's where we are, I would say, normally. Even though it feels like we're here for so long, we've been there for, you know, much longer if we were to put time on it. So when they go home, they review their lives, they, you know, reconnect with loved ones and their spirit guides and, you know, talk about everything that they've been through. And after all of that, they do have to go through a healing. It really depends on where they are on their own specific path. You know, sometimes people will need quite a bit of healing. They have beautiful spirit hospitals to help those who really need a lot of healing, and they can rest and rejuvenate and receive the counseling and guidance they need. But for most people who kind of, you know, don't need that level of care, I'm actually hearing it from my guides right now. It would be within, oh, they're telling me about within 2 weeks or so of our time, as we understand it, to get used to the not having to deal with the dense physical body and the needs of the body, because we have so many physical needs, like, you know, like you said, water, eating, you know, elimination functions and, you know, hygiene, all of those things. And obviously in spirit, we don't have to go through all of that. So I feel like it varies depending on the spirit, where their vibration is at. If they're, you know, and again, it's important to know that when we start off, we all started off at the same vibration. Nobody is given, you know, a greater chance or, you know, more opportunities than anyone else. So if they're at a lower vibration, which is okay because we all were there once, it would probably take a little bit longer because they feel more comfortable kind of having the physical body. But the higher the vibration, the less time it takes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Did you have any other questions today?
Well, we're also used to living in a dwelling of some sort, a house or an apartment. Mm-hmm. So how does that work in the spirit world?
Oh, that's another great question. I love your questions. We actually do things that are built there. Everything is done with thought, but we don't need to sleep the way that we do here, obviously, because when we're sleeping here, we're actually connected with spirit. And obviously when we're home, we're already there. So we do rest. We can rest, and it's hard to explain it, but what I've heard from spirit is it's kind of like their version of sleep is like a meditation, a long meditation, just beautiful resting, healing. We can live in dwellings of our choice. I've been told that because we're very social there, probably more so than we are here, there are kind of like apartment-like buildings, but it can be decorated however we want it. Others choose to make homes kind of similar to what we have here. So it can be in nature and what we would consider the country, all that kind of stuff, because there's an abundance of nature in such a way that I can't possibly describe it. In meditation, I've seen glimpses. But even still, I can't, there's no words. There simply are no words for what we can experience there in terms of nature. But yes, we do have a dwelling. We have a place where we can rest and just kind of be comfortable and, you know, at peace. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'm just hoping that there's going to be a reunion when my time comes with my beloved brother and mother and father. So
oh, yeah.
I don't know if it'll be in a dwelling on the other side.
Well, usually when, you know, especially when the time comes, but not a moment sooner, we all have the right time when it's time for us to go home. So we don't want to, definitely don't go any sooner than we are meant to. Our loved ones are very aware of that. So they are there to greet you. We see our spirit guides, our loved ones, our pets that have passed, and they kind of, it's a homecoming. It's welcoming, you know. And then as you get settled in and more and more, yeah, absolutely, you will get to meet with them and talk with them wherever you feel comfortable. Obviously, you know, you're not going to have to pick a place and time for that. It's just all in the moment, and it's beautiful, and you will. I mean, don't worry about not seeing them. They're going to be there for you when the time is right. Does
okay.
that make sense?
Okay. Yes, and I do pray that my beloved brother David, he passed on March the 2nd.
I'm sorry.
From the highest bridge in California, higher than the Golden Gate Bridge. And,
right.
Quite a shock. And I haven't cried
so
yet. And I had to take care of everything. And I got a sign because the day I went to pay the check for the digging for the cemetery, I take public transportation. And oddly enough, this bus drove straight to where the nursing home was located, where my beloved mother had been residing when she passed. And I feel like that was a sign that she was happy with me, that I was taking care of everything and make sure that he was, you know, with the family.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is amazing.
So, when my beloved parents passed, I had purchased a spot next to them, and David made a comment that I would probably be the next one. And but it turned out to be him. So I shared my space with him, and I'll be placed on top when my time comes. I'm 65 now. And I do think that my mother and father were giving me a sign that they were glad that I followed up on my promise, you know, to keep him in the family plot.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so sorry, but it sounds like, too, that you're on the verge of starting to kind of be ready to go through the grieving process. And it is normal to not cry right away because it's just, like you said, it's such a shock. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. But have you been able to talk about it and kind of get some of the emotions out that are kind of probably being bottled up at this time?
No. Right now, to be honest with you, I have to keep myself in a emotional and mental state where I have to take care of myself because I need to find employment as soon as possible.
Right.
So
I
need to be...
Have you considered that the reason you haven't found it, though, is maybe because you've been given this time to embrace your grief so that you can work on healing?
Well, I feel it would help me to become employed because I'd have to keep
right.
my mind busy.
Right.
And also, what comforts me is those moments when I do feel overwhelmed, I just remind myself that there is going to be a reunion. And I do believe that. So I think it's a healthy thing for me to become employed as soon as possible.
Right.
Hopefully a good job that I'll keep for several years. Worst experience of my whole life, and I have dealt with so much, you would be amazed. I won't take away your time by telling you everything else that's happened to me in the last year, but you would probably be shocked. But,
well, probably, but I mean, also, too, have you... You know, you said that this happened in March, so July and August, that might be a time where you might want to consider booking a reading with a medium that you resonate with, because that might help you get to the place where you need to get to in order to start really healing. But I wouldn't do it any sooner than that. You want to wait a little bit of time.
Well, I know that you are a wonderful medium, and I know that, excuse me, sorry, I know that you're very truthful, which is what people seek, and compassionate. And if I can afford it, I will. I haven't, I don't have any income coming in since April. So
right.
I want to get on an even keel, and I think it'd be healthy for me to become employed as soon as possible.
Right. Well, I really hope that works out for you. I know that, you know, with employment, it's so difficult because you're depending upon what the employer is going to do. And I just pray that you find what you're looking for as soon as possible so that you can start your own healing and get back to a place of feeling more centered and balanced and preparing to work through the grief that is, you know, hasn't really been unleashed yet. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. And I will tell you that I can validate you because I talked to you one time on the air shortly after this happened, and you brought up some things that validated for me that you knew what you were speaking about. And so I've been applying for work, and out of the blue today, I actually got an email from the city for a job that's temporary, but it'd be a nice temporary job. And also yesterday, there's a job with a school's credit union that I applied for, and I applied a long time ago. But this time when I applied, I had more experience in the banking field. So I'm hoping that they contact me.
Well, I hope so, too. I'll be praying for this and hoping that you get what you need.
The school's credit union would be perfect.
Well, keep thinking about it and you know, try to put all your good intentions into it. Don't stress about whether or not they've called or anything like that. Just all good thoughts, trying to put good intentions into it and try to, you know, let go of the outcome as much as you can, because if it's not this one, it's going to be something that you need and something that's good for you. And, you know, talk to your guides and they'll be there to help you through all of this. And I really hope that in the near future, when the time is right, that we can make that beautiful connection with your beloved brother and hopefully help you along on your own healing process.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Wendy. Well, thank you so much for listening and calling in. You asked wonderful questions. I love them so much. And I do hope that you'll continue to listen, and I'll be praying for you to find the most perfect job that you can have. Okay?
And quickly. Thank you.
Yes, as soon as possible. So many blessings to you, Wendy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. And I really appreciate when people call back. It's always helpful to know, too, if, you know, something that was said during a message can be validated in the future. You know, it's just one thing you'll never hear me say is I'm 100% accurate, because I don't feel like anyone can say that about any position possible in this world. Nothing can be 100%. It can't be perfect. No one's perfect. And I embrace my, my imperfection, as it were. You know, it's a part of life. It's why we're here. It's not about being perfect. And so whenever someone can tell me that, you know, my guides and I were able to bring through something that was very validating and confirming for them, it's just humbling. And I just become even more grateful for the ability that we have to help, hopefully on some level. So another question I often get before we take another caller is, do you find it bothersome or a burden to be a medium? Because some people, you'll see lots of mediums talking about how it's, you know, it's more of a burden than a gift. And I don't call it either. I feel it's an ability. I don't feel gifted. I feel like it's something that I've been working towards for many lifetimes, and it's something that I love to do. So it's never felt like a burden to me. It's never felt like something I had to do. It's always felt like something I've always felt blessed to be able to do something I love and hopefully continue to grow and learn and be able to help more people on a, you know, a greater scale. Whatever is meant to be will be, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to do that. But absolutely, it's never been a bother or a burden to me. I've never felt forced into it. I've never, sometimes I've heard people say that, you know, their guides are yelling at them to do this, and I've countless guides. I've never heard one yell. I don't know. I obviously I can't speak for other people's experiences. I can only speak for my own. But no, it's not a burden. It's never felt heavy. It's never felt like too much of a responsibility. It is a responsibility, and I take it very seriously. But I've always embraced it for the blessing that it is. Because how do you describe what it's like to be the medium in between the spirit world and the physical world, and helping people, you know, spirits and people, spirits in the physical world as well, you know, connect and to get to help them receive that closure or that healing, that the things that they need to hear, so that, you know, and validating information that helps them to know that their loved ones are fine and they're with them and checking in on them and guiding them. You know, it's to feel like that's a burden. I just wouldn't be able to understand that. But obviously, everyone's different and on a different part of their path. So I can respect that everyone might feel differently about it. But for myself personally, no, it is, aside from being a mother and a wife and all that in this life, being a medium is the only thing I would have ever wanted to do. And I'm just grateful for every moment. And if for whatever reason, if it ever had to stop, because like I've told you before, I was sick for quite some time over the last 2 years, and I wasn't sure if this was going to be something I'd be getting back into. And I'm grateful every day that I wake up that I can connect one more person with their loved ones and spirit guides. Okay, we're going to take another caller and see what their question is. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Hi, my name is Tanika.
Hi. I'm sorry?
Hi. My name is Tanika.
What's your... Tanika? Am I saying it right, Tanika? Wonderful. It's a lovely name.
Yeah, you said it right.
Hi, Tanika. Do you have a question today about mediumship or spirit?
Well, I just wanted to know if I don't know if this is an appropriate question for mediumship or spirit. I just have a question about someone that I just met. And I'm just wondering if anything is going to develop.
Okay. Well, tonight we're not doing spirit messages, but I'm happy to help you guidance-wise with this, and my guides will help out with this. When it comes to something about relationships, it's important to know that our spirit guides and our loved ones, they can only give so much information. They're not going to tell you, oh, yes, this is the one, or oh, yes, I see wedding bells. Sometimes it will happen, but for the most part, we have free will. And so right now, in the beginning stages of a relationship, it's really important to pay attention to what you feel, those gut instincts. Sometimes we're so excited about the possibilities that we kind of ignore the things that we're really feeling, and we don't trust our intuition. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you feeling so far? Are you feeling like this is resonating with you, that you're really happy, or do you feel that there's, I mean, I have to be honest, usually when someone asks something like that, there's always a bit of a hesitation or a doubt already. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, because what happened was we were obviously attracted to each other, and then we hung out this Sunday and everything was fine and we hit it off and even kissed. And then ever since then, though, I have not heard from him. I don't know if it's because, you know, that's all that this person is looking for and nothing is going to develop between us, or if something is going to develop and I just need to wait.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, no, I completely understand. And so I mean, obviously I'm not doing connecting right now, but if I were, chances are your guides are going to come through and say, if he hasn't called and isn't showing the signs that you would want for moving forward, you know, how long would you be willing to wait? Like, what is your time worth? What, you know, you got to remember where your worth lies in this. And everyone we meet provides us with a lesson. And so chances are, even if it doesn't develop, or whether, you know, maybe it will, it's a good time to step back and say, what have I learned from this experience? You know, what is it about this person that's teaching me something about myself? Do you think that there's a lesson here for you possibly?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I know that it can be disappointing, especially if, you know, you meet someone and you're so excited and you really want it to work out. I'm not saying it will or won't, but it's a good time before he calls to think about what you expect in a relationship, what you feel your worth is, and what you know, what you're willing to kind of accept and not accept. And if he said he was going to call and he hasn't, well, he might have a good reason. Things happen, family emergencies and all that, but you know, you have to go with what your gut instinct says. And if you're feeling like, okay, maybe this isn't for me, then that's okay. Let it go. Appreciate the time you did have. Appreciate meeting somebody that made you feel that wonderful feeling of just being alive and that joy. And appreciate it for what it was, and then let it go. And then be more open and willing to, you know, for the next situation or the next person to come into your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, Tanika, I want to wish you all the luck in the world. I really hope that if he is really good for you. I hope that he does call soon, because I feel like he is the one missing out, obviously. And if he doesn't, well, that just means someone better is coming for you and, you know, is more worth your time. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Blessings to you. Bye-bye. Okay. Another question I get often is mediumship truly genetic? Because you will notice that people will say, I'm, you know, fourth generation, third generation. For myself, I'm at least a third generation medium. But, you know, it's not like everyone in my family is a medium. Some people are because they chose to pursue it. Others have the ability but choose not to pursue it. We have free will. We don't have to do anything. We do what we feel drawn to do. But what I've heard from spirit, my guides, is that it's not a matter of our genetic makeup so much that provides us with the ability to become a medium. Aside from physical mediumship, which is a completely different topic, but that wouldn't be genetic either. I've actually for physical mediumship, which is really funny, I don't think I've ever met any physical mediums that had other physical mediums in the family. So that kind of shows that it's not a matter of what family you're born into. So if you feel like you're really drawn to learn about mediumship, but there's no mediums in your family, don't hesitate or to work on yourself and strengthen your spiritual senses simply because there's no one in your family. You don't have to, you know, come from a long line of mediums in order to become a medium. I didn't know until I was about probably about 16 or so that there were mediums in my family. So I didn't grow up with it. I grew up being a medium, but, you know, I didn't know what was going on until I was about 13 or 14. And I found what the word medium was and then made it sense. And then I started to develop again in this life around 16 or so. So, you know, you don't have to grow up with it. You don't have to be, you know, everyone as a child is open to it at some point or, you know, is as much more open to spirit because we just came from there. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about genetics in the sense of developing as a medium. We're going to take another caller now. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Hi, Michelle. My name is Crystal.
Hi, Crystal. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Do you have a question about mediumship? Or?
My question is really, how do you know when a spirit is actually with you or is guiding you?
You
know.
Like, do you mean like a loved one or a spirit guide or just any spirit in general?
Both. And, you know, because sometimes you see that there's somebody else there or you just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just sometimes gets weird. I don't know.
Okay.
That there's another presence.
Do you kind of sense like you sense like there's a presence, but you're not quite sure, and you're wondering like how
right.
do you know? Is that what you're? Okay. Yeah. Often, do you ever find where you're kind of you're focused on something, and then you kind of like see a shadow in your peripheral vision, and you're like, what was that? You know. Often we sense our loved ones, we sense our spirit guides, but they never try to do anything that will upset us or scare us or anything like that. But it's all about what we're thinking about. So if you're doing something, usually this happens when we're doing something like folding laundry, doing dishes, those mundane tasks, because this is a good time for us to connect with spirit. And sometimes we'll start thinking about a loved one who's passed, or we'll start thinking about problems that we're having. This is usually a time that we're actually connecting with our loved ones and spirit guides. So pay attention to what you're thinking about when you're starting to sense you know, a presence, if you want to call it that. You know, do you fear that there's ones that are around you that shouldn't be? Is that something, like, do you get scared about this at all?
I've had many experiences.
okay.
Yes, I think I've had a few bad ones, like, you know, someone trying to come over me or something.
Okay.
But
so what you can do is, like, for the most part, our guides protect us from lower vibrational spirits. And when I say low vibrational, I don't mean that they're evil or trying to hurt us or anything like that. It just means that they're not quite at a vibration that should be connecting with us because they still have a lot to learn. And that's okay. We show them compassion and love because we were all at that vibration at one point. But what you can do, if you feel unsettled or uncomfortable, I mean, first of all, the first thing I would say is smudge your home, you know, clear out the energy, because it's all residual energy. Sometimes we think that there's like bad spirits or something bothering us because the home feels tense and uncomfortable. Usually, and I've done a lot of house cleansings, and I've never found anything scary. It's never like that, except for maybe like the 1 in 100 time. And that even then, it's not scary. It's just, hey, you don't really belong here. Move along, and it's all good. For the most part, if you feel unsettled in your home, it's because of residual energy from ourselves. So if we've had a lot of fighting going on in the home, or we've had a lot of tension with people that we live with and all that, it can create this residual energy that can just build and build and build and kind of create an unsettled, uncomfortable feeling. So this is a good time to smudge the house and ask whoever you believe in, the creator, God, or your spirit guides, whatever resonates with you. You know, everyone has their own thing, to release any and all energies that we no longer need to have in our home, to release any residual energy, any energy that is lower than our vibration, to bring in loving, healing energies, all that kind of stuff. You'll find a huge difference just from that. And then with regards to if you're kind of sensing something that you don't think should be around you, you strengthen your boundaries simply with your guides and say, I only accept energies that are greater than or equal to my own vibration. And I say this every single day during a simple prayer that I always say before I do any spirit work. And it, you know, it just creates this kind of like a shield where it's like, nope. Sorry, you're not getting in. Not that anyone's really trying. I think sometimes with movies and television, we think that spirits are constantly trying to bother us or hurt us. But there's so much to do in spirit that they're quite frankly, they don't really want to bother with us. They have a lot to do. Does that make sense, all of that?
Okay. Oh, yes, it does. But another question that I normally have is sometimes my ear voices, not like somebody who's mentally ill or bipolar, what they call it. But like,
no, I know what you mean.
You know, like, you know, when you're facing a decision, there's always like sometimes two voices coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear a
and you hear like,
voice,
is it okay, like in your mind, and is it kind of like maybe kind of in your tone of voice, but very like it's a different way of speaking.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, it's a very like, is it usually very peaceful and calm and rational though?
Yeah, like more like
yeah,
a talk,
that's
but
your
more
guide.
Like a voice, like, right? Like,
yeah.
How do you differentiate
yeah.
between what's, to, like, if they might say, all right, I might say, pick the red one or the black one, is like saying that, no, pick the red one, and you're another one, say, no, the black one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it normal?
No, that's perfectly normal, absolutely. What I find, like, I always encourage people to speak out loud to their guides, because if you're noticing that there's a two-way conversation going on when you're kind of deliberating about a choice or working on a problem, and you can speak out loud, because obviously we're not going to sit there and do this on the bus. It's not socially acceptable. But, you know, if you're at home and you're kind of going through something, if you speak out loud and you hear the responses in your mind and your thoughts, then this kind of differentiates between what you're saying and what they're saying. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So try that for a bit. But no, everything you're describing to me is perfectly normal. We all have the ability to connect with spirit. We all have the ability to connect with our guides and talk with them and our loved ones. So, you know, it's wonderful that you're recognizing this and that you're obviously sensitive and open to it. And, you know, if you're thinking about developing a bit more and becoming a bit more knowledgeable about how to work with spirit, you know, you should look for someone who teaches either online or locally and take a few classes and see, you know, how it fits in with everything that you're experiencing.
Okay. I'm looking at your page, so I'll, you know, continue to listen. Thanks for the information.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
No, I'm saying I'm looking at your website, you know, I'm looking
oh.
at your information, and I'll continue
mm-hmm.
to listen, you know, if I try to learn more. You know, but
good. Well, you know what? I have some groups on Facebook and they're mediumship development groups. If you wanted to ask questions there, join my groups. Everything's on my website and you can join the groups. I have a page, ask questions. I love to help people get in touch with their own spiritual senses and to develop. And, you know, it just gives me great joy to see others kind of, you know, developing and getting into it. So please join those groups and I'll be happy to help out. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Michelle. Have a good day.
You're so welcome. Take care. Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, these are great questions tonight. I'm really enjoying this. It's and sometimes we think what you're experiencing isn't normal. It just couldn't be, or you know, you're not quite sure. It's great to ask somebody who does it all the time because they can help you recognize that it is normal. Everything that we experience, I mean, it's if you're not sure about it and you have no one to ask, you know, it can feel like, oh, am I the only one? Am I alone in this? You're not alone. Absolutely not. And it's important to know that we all have the capability to connect with our loved ones and our spirit guides. It's open to everyone. You know, it's a part of, you know, while we're here, we're always connected in some way with spirit. Another thing that people ask me a lot is, how do you connect with people without seeing them through, you know, if you're on the phone or Skype or doing text readings? Because sometimes we think, oh, we need to have pictures or we need to be right in front of the person to connect with them. For me, it's all about connecting with energy. So even on the show, you've heard this, you know, someone will call in, I have their first name, I have no idea where they're calling from, I have no idea what their last name is, I have no idea what they look like, I have no information whatsoever, because I don't screen the calls, I don't even know how to screen the calls if I can, but I just click and there you are. And I say, I'm going to connect with your energy now. And this is just a part of the mediumship aspect, where it's just with spirit, I trust we work together. They know what to do. I do my part. They do their part. And we connect with your energy no matter where you are in the entire world. Even, you know, and it can be, you know, sometimes people are very skeptical. And I understand that. I mean, but it's not for me to change anyone's mind. But they say, oh, well, you're doing cold reading, or, you know, you're picking up on cues. Well, I can assure you, if I'm doing a text reading on Facebook and I can't see the person, much less, you know, I can't even hear their voice. I can't even get an idea of what their tone of voice is. You know, it's all energy. I can feel their emotions. I can feel that, I'll write that you're crying now. I can sense that you're crying because of this beautiful healing that's happening right now, this connection. And, you know, there's no way that, you know, you can, well, I guess, quote unquote, cheat based on when you can't see them or hear them at all. And you have no ability, like no way to pick up this kind of information otherwise. So it doesn't matter if they're in Australia or if they're right beside me. It is energy that we connect with, and it doesn't matter where someone is or anything like that. It's just important, you know, for a sitter to at least be open enough to allow the medium to connect with them, because you can block someone. You know, if you're sure that you definitely don't want to read or you don't want them to pick up anything on you, then you can block them. And you feel that, like when I connect with somebody who's blocking, whether they're doing it subconsciously because of fear or, you know, for whatever reason, the first thing I'll say is you're completely blocked. And I can feel that. And it's like, for me, it's like physically, like you can feel like hitting the brick wall. There's just nothing flowing. So it's just all energy. And I wish I could explain it better, but that's just what it comes down to. Okay. We're going to take another question from someone. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Hello, Michelle. This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
How are you? I'm very good.
Oh,
thank
good.
You.
I'm good.
Actually, I have a related question. When I was in my teens, I had an out-of-body experience where I encountered either an angelic figure or my guide. I wasn't sure, but it was like a flowing, golden, white being that was there. And I actually ended up in the next room because I was living in an apartment at that time. And it was a female presence, actually, and she gave me this message, but it was telepathic. It wasn't, you know, talking. Yeah, and it was basically a message to my mother that she was loved, because I guess she didn't feel love, but to let her know that she was loved by her mother, who had passed away way back. And then after this encounter, I went down on my knees, you know. I know I felt such a reverence for this being, and in prayer form, it was a thank you. And then I ended up back in my body again, you know, in the next room. I was curious. Yeah, I was curious, you know, who this being was, or, you know, was it?
Okay.
Was it
What it sounds like is that you experienced a very real astral travel. So we all do this in our sleep, but when we actually remember it, it's so amazing, because probably even today, when you think back to this, you can feel the emotions you felt, right? And you can feel that energy to some extent, right? Yeah. And so this is an astral travel. Yeah, and so what this really is, like some people call it out of body, it's simply something that we all do, but few of us remember it. We remember sometimes, but most of the time we don't. It's a very real visit with spirit. And what it sounds like, based on what you're telling me, is that you connected with one of your guides, or her guides, rather, because the message was for her too, but probably one of your guides. And that presence, that beautiful angelic type of presence, it may have been an angel, but chances are it was a guide, and likely a master teacher. I don't know if you were listening during the day I was talking about spirit guides, but master teachers are very high vibrational, and you just feel love when you connect with them.
Right.
And, you know, it's just this pure love, and it's healing energy, really, because it's just so pure and wonderful. So I would say, you know, trying to get if you had like a spirit guide reading, chances are this guide would come through at the end, and you would feel that same energy again. And you can even ask them to come forward during a meditation and see if you can sense it. Have you ever sensed them since that time?
I've had a lot of other experiences, but not related to that one being.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, other, you know, astral travel, like you say, I've had a lot of experiences
yeah.
like that further,
right.
but not for that one guide.
Right. Well, I would definitely suggest, you know, asking them if they would be willing to come forward, and, you know, that you'd love to connect with them in that way again. I'm sure you have, but, you know, again, we don't always
okay.
remember our astral travels. Yeah. And so it's, I mean, it sounds beautiful, and I hope that your mother really appreciated that message. Did you tell her the next day?
I did tell her. She was scared to death because she didn't believe
oh.
in that kind of thing, or was scared of
right.
it. And then but what was interesting, a week later, she got a similar experience. And so,
oh, really?
You know, yes,
yeah.
really.
Wow. Oh, well, hopefully that helped her, you know, feel the validity of that message for her.
Right.
Wonderful. Did you have any other questions today about mediumship or spirit or anything else like that?
Well, no. You know, I was just hoping how I can help these experiences happen more often, because I've had a lot of them. You know,
very adept at having like astral travels, the next step would be lucid dreaming. Have you looked into lucid dreaming at all?
I have that too. Oh yes, I have.
You have
that too.
So
I dream.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what would you be hoping to do with that? Like moving forward, what is the goal for you to move forward with that?
To gain knowledge, you know, to be able to
okay.
ask questions while I am in, you know, and yeah, higher knowledge.
Okay. So what I would suggest then is, if you have questions that you know you want to ask to receive answers on, write them down or ask them to your guides right before you go to sleep. And then, especially if you write them down, and then the first time, like the first thing when you wake up, whether or not you remember having a lucid dream or an astral travel, look at the questions and see if you feel or hear or sense the answers kind of flowing through you, because chances are it'll be in your subconscious from whatever you experienced that night. And just write down whatever the first thoughts that you have are, and see if that builds up for you, because I think that would be great.
Okay. You know, I tried a couple times where it did work, you know, where I
uh-huh.
did have a question right before I drifted off to sleep, and I
mm-hmm.
actually got into that dream state, and it worked. But
right.
late, you know, maybe I try too hard. I don't know.
Well, it's possible. Have you ever tried listening to a guided meditation for like designed to help someone lucid dream? There's one on YouTube. There's one gentleman I resonate with, Jason Stevenson. He has a wonderful voice, and I like to fall asleep to his guided meditations. And I find that ever since I've been doing those more, that I am remembering more, and I'm experiencing very vivid dreams again. And so that might be one thing that could help you.
Okay. Putting his name down now. Okay.
Yeah, Jason Stevenson.
So
he's got many
much.
Videos. Enjoy
thank
them.
You.
Oh, you're welcome, Wendy. Thanks so much for calling. Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Blessings to you. Bye.
Oh, it's such a great question. So we're going to have another caller right away. I'm just going to answer one more question, I think, that I received. There's just so many questions. I love it. And we'll definitely do this again, because this has been wonderful. I'm just going to pick a question. Okay. So sometimes, okay, people will ask, how long does it take for someone to speak with you after they pass? Again, this comes down to simply, it's individualistic, you know, based on the spirit's path, based on how much healing they have to go through when they go home, how long it takes them to readjust to being home. Again, I've said it before, when a person passes into spirit and they make that transition, you'll tend to notice and you'll sense their presence for up to 2 weeks after they initially pass. And this is usually during a time where you're, you know, obviously you're dealing with the grief and trying to come to terms with the situation and going through the final ceremonies and everything else that you might have for them. And so you might be very aware that they're right there. And this is very real. And this is as they're making their own personal and individual transition back to spirit. So it's like their vibration is, you know, slowly rising and rising and rising to get back into that state of being where we usually are. And so after that 2 weeks, you might feel like you don't sense them at all of a sudden. And this is very upsetting because, you know, you're so used to, well, okay, at least I'm going to sense them all the time. Well, after that 2 weeks or so, and again, it's very individualistic. Sometimes it can be immediately that you don't sense them because if they went in a certain way, they might need to be working on their healing right away. But if they went, you know, if they had an illness or, you know, passed through natural causes and all that, you would likely notice their presence for at least up to 2 weeks. And then after that, there is, you know, a time of them needing to readjust and all that. So they might be connecting with you, but you're less likely to notice it because you're going through your own grieving process. You're going through starting your own healing process. And again, it's that 4 to 6 months that, you know, this can take. You know, it doesn't mean that they couldn't connect with you during that time. It just means that for everyone involved, it probably would be better not to try to force that connection or try to, you know, especially don't do a reading until after that time because you need to focus on your healing. But in terms of actually just answering this question, how long does it take for someone to speak with you after they pass? Technically, immediately. You know, it's, but it again, it's very individual based on everyone's paths and everything that's involved. Okay, we have one more caller for tonight. We're going to answer their question. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Yes, hi, this is Tony.
Actually, I'm sorry?
Answer the question. This is Tony.
Okay. Tony, okay, hi.
I know you mentioned when somebody has passed with natural causes, they won't get in contact with you until a couple of weeks, you would say, or months, correct? But what if somebody dies, like, within another form, like with suicide and things like that? How long does it normally take, or how do you know?
Okay, So you're asking how long does it take if somebody were to keep, to want to connect through after going home, either, you know, based on homicide or suicide, like a tragic kind of transition, suicide specifically. Okay. So
yes.
I have connected with many spirits who have gone home by their own hand. The first thing I always have to say, though, is, and other mediums might disagree, but for me, I've done this for a very long time, and I've connected with countless spirits who have chosen this path. Not one of them has ever been happy they made that choice. So they have to go through a lot of healing. But it's very evident in their energy when they do come through that this is what they chose. So, I'll feel that heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still say 4 to 6 months. Simply because it gives them time to work on that healing. And obviously, if you've lost someone this way, I'm so terribly sorry because I know that it is, and I obviously don't know how you're feeling, but I understand and I can empathize greatly with the grief that you're feeling. And I'm very sorry for that. But I would say, please wait at least 4 to 6 months.
It just feels weird. I know something like that, but sometimes I feel like, I knew where he worked. He was the father of my child, and he committed suicide after she was born. So it's very hard for me to deal with something like this. And I guess myself, I'm a little bit angry. But
right.
Whenever I pass to where he works, like my heart just kind of, you know, I can't pass by where he works.
Right.
Or drive by where he's at. I can't explain it. You know, sometimes I know in an apartment, I feel like he was there or something. I don't know. It just feels different.
I understand, and that anger is important. I mean, every emotion you go through is extremely important and very real and okay. Don't judge yourself for how you're feeling, okay? Please don't judge yourself or be hard on yourself for how you're feeling. We have only a few more seconds left on the show, but what I would like to ask you specifically is, if you'd like some spiritual guidance on this, can you please contact me after the show through email on my website? I'd be happy to help with that, okay? Because I want you to feel better, and unfortunately we're running out of time today, and this is something that would obviously be very personal, but please, I'm offering you spiritual guidance. Please write to me how you're feeling, and we can talk about this, okay? Will you do that?
I will.
Okay,
I will.
Please do. Okay, so I want to wish you all the blessings of healing and love, and I will be contacting you after you contact me, okay?
Thank you.
I want to thank you. You're welcome, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.